We're doing the book of Shemuel, and we had left off where, in the what they call the third chapter, the third pasuk, we have the description that the lamp of Hashem had not yet been extinguished. And we said, Ner Elokim Terem Yichbeh is a term that Chazal used to mean that the leadership that was around had not yet passed on from the world. Before Eli will pass from the world, Shmuel will come up. Ner Elokim Terem Yichbeh, before the lamp of Hashem is extinguished, before Shmuel Eli passes away, Shmuel is lying down. And we discussed last time that Hashem is going to appear to Shmuel in order to ensure that Shmuel doesn't lose it when Hashem suddenly talks to him. So Hashem appears to him in the voice that he is accustomed to. When Hashem appeared to Moshe, Hashem appeared in the voice of his father Amram. When Hashem appears to Shmuel, Hashem appears in the voice of his mentor Eli. So Shmuel is lying down, and Hashem calls out Shmuel, and Shmuel says, "Here I am." He runs to Eli, and he says, "I've come, you called me." Eli says, "I didn't call you, go back, lie down." He goes, lies down. Hashem calls him a second time. Shmuel runs to Eli, and he says, "Here I am, you called me." He says, "I didn't call, go lie down." So, again, Hashem calls a third time. He runs to Eli and he says, "Here I am, because you called me." Eli understands that it is Hashem calling him, and he says, "Go lie down, and if you hear the call again, so then you say, 'Speak, Hashem, for your servant is listening.'" Shmuel lies down, and Hashem comes and again calls him, "Shmuel, Shmuel." Shmuel is still concerned. Maybe it's someone playing a trick on him. So he doesn't say, "Speak, Hashem." He just says, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And Hashem tells Shmuel his first prophecy. And his first prophecy is going to be a dismal prophecy. It's interesting that Shmuel is going to hear a very, very sad prophecy, but that's not a bad omen. I'm unaware of anyone that says that's a bad sign for Shmuel, but his starting prophecy is very tough. Hashem tells him, "I'm going to do something which whoever hears it, so his ears are going to ring, because on that day I will pay back Eli what I told him, and I will show him I'm punishing his family forever." Because even though he knew that his children are causing the desecration of my name, he did not rebuke his children. "And therefore I promise the house of Eli that their sins will never be forgiven with a sacrifice forever." So our sages say hidden in here was a blessing. Hashem was saying, you cannot use a sacrifice to atone for this transgression, because the transgression involves the desecration of the sacrifices. When they run in and they take the meat of the sacrifices, so they've desecrated the sacrifice. They cannot use the very thing which they desecrated as their own atonement. So how can they gain atonement? They should learn Torah, they should do chesed. Those are the things that can gain them atonement. So Hashem says, in saying they will not be forgiven with the sacrifice, Hashem is giving them a clue, but they can attain forgiveness the other way. So I promise the house of Eli, says Hashem, their transgressions will not be forgiven with the sacrifice forever. Shmuel waits till the morning. He's not going to run to tell Eli what Hashem just told him. Yes.
Okay. Question at the beginning. He says Moshe trusted the voice because his father's voice, Amram. But was what Moshe raised in the castle by Paro and Paro's daughter?
It says in the Medrash, which was mentioned in the WhatsApp 3 weeks ago, that either until the age of 10, 12, or 15, there was an age, it seems in the Medrash, that until then Moshe had contact with his parents. The Medrash doesn't assume that at age 2 he broke off contact with his parents.
Did he ever regain contact? It says in the Torah that
I don't know.
One must honor the parents. Shouldn't he keep that relationship?
I don't know. I have to do the math when they passed away. So I don't know.
Wait, what do you mean by that?
Moshe left Egypt presumably at age 15, and he came back at age 80. So I don't know if they were still alive at that point. I have to sit down and do the math.
Well, yeah, I know they didn't have telephones. They just had the middle
much older. His mother was 120 something when he was born. So his mother was not alive. Whether his father was alive, we have to do the math. Okay. If I remember correctly, his father, I don't remember. Okay. Tov. He's scared of telling Eli. Eli calls him in. He calls him Shmuel, my son. This time he comes in, I'm here. What did God tell you? Don't hide it from me. He sees Shmuel is hesitant. He says, so Hashem should do to you, and so Hashem should continue. Don't hide anything from me. So that ends up being a curse. Just as Eli's children did not go in the way of Hashem, Shmuel's children will also not end up going in the way of Hashem. Shmuel tells him everything, but the curse on some level still comes true. And Eli, in his great piety, says, Hashem hu atov beinav yaseh. Hashem is the father of mercy, and whatever he does, whatever is good in his eyes, he should do. Okay, Shmuel, once he starts having prophecy, he continues. And throughout Israel, Shmuel becomes famous as a prophet for Hashem. When we read the story, it sounds like Shmuel is a kid. Eli, it says, was our judge for 40 years, right? When Eli passes away, so it says, Eli had been judge for 40 years. Right at the end of this chapter, it says, Ushafat et Yisrael 40 shana. So Eli was judge for 40 years. He became judge a year before Shmuel was born. So that means when Eli is going to die, Shmuel should be 39. Okay? The next section we're going to learn about how Eli dies, right? Hashem tells Shmuel, I'm going to do something which will show him that the curses are coming true in his family. How long did it take from the time Shmuel got that prophecy and the prophecy came true? I don't know. But when it came true, Shmuel was 39 years old. So even though the storyline seems like Shmuel is very young, it seems like he's still a lad by Eli. But Vayigdal says Shmuel grew up. How much did he grow up? Well, in the next story, when Eli's going to die, Shmuel is going to be 39. So Shmuel is already leading the Jewish people. They go out to war against the Philistines, and they camp by a place named Evin Ha'ezer. And the Philistines camp by a place named Afek. So the Philistines prepare for war, and we lose the first battle. When we lose the first battle, 4,000 men, think about that, 4,000 widows and orphans, they come back and they say, okay, why'd we lose? How did Hashem let us lose against the Philistines? Let's take from Shiloh the Ark of Hashem. And when the Ark comes here, then we'll be victorious against our enemies. Yes?
Do you have to be married to be a son?
No.
So how do we know that they are married? That there are 4,000 widows?
You're right. It was an example. You're right.
I'm just asking.
Oh, no, you're right.
I hear rabbis say that, but I never hear that.
Oh, you're right. We don't know. You're right.
Sorry,
the assumption is, no, it's just a way to visualize the impact. It shouldn't just be a number.
4,000 families.
Just a corporation. 4,000 potential children that could have been born.
2,300 families.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, but if they were single, and
the whole Yom Kippur family.
Well,
and even though I'm single, the consequences it had to Israel, politics, so imagine that.
Yeah. So the nation brings the ark from Shiloh. Ordinarily we'd have one ark that went out with us to war and the ark that stayed in the camp. Now they brought out the ark that had the Aron, the ark that had the Luchos, what's called the Ark of the Covenant. And if they're bringing it, so the two Kohanim carry it, Hophni and Pinchas, Eli's two sons. They bring it into the camp, everyone rejoices, that's it, now we're going to win. When the Philistines hear it, they say, what's going on? So they say, oh, the Ark of Hashem entered the camp of the Jews. The Philistines get scared. They say, God is in their camp now. What's going to be with us? This isn't the way they've waged war in the past. So we're in trouble. Who's going to save us from this powerful God? They're the ones that hit the Egyptians with every type of plague. And we have to strengthen ourselves because otherwise we might end up being servants to the Hebrews the way they were servants to us. So they go to war and they're victorious. And along comes Goliath, And Goliath goes into the Hebrew camp, and whenever he could find a Jew that's fallen, he mutilates his face so that they won't know who he was, and his wife will never be able to get remarried. Exceptional cruelty. He wants to make sure that we won't know. No one, the women will remain agunot. They won't be able to remarry. And we lose 30,000 foot soldiers. And Goliath comes up to the ark and he takes out the two tablets. He personally kills Hophni and Pinchas. He slays them on the spot and he opens up the ark and takes out the tablets. And he says, "Ah, these are the tablets from Moshe Rabbeinu." And a brave warrior named Shaul ben Kish, who's very tall, he runs up to him and grabs the tablets out of his hands and runs. And Shaul will run all the way to the camp of Shiloh. And he comes back with the tablets. His clothing are torn. And Eli is sitting at the entrance to Shiloh, waiting to see what's happening. They took the ark. He's so concerned. And Shaul walks into the city. Everyone asks him what's going on. And he tells them, "We lost the war." Everyone starts crying. Eli hears the cry. And he says, "What's going on?" Shaul runs over to Eli, the leader, and he tells him what happened. Eli is 98 years old and he cannot see well anymore, and he's heavy. And when Shaul tells him, "We lost the war, the people are running, a huge plague hit Israel, and your two sons, Hophni and Pinchas, died, and the Aron was taken," when he mentioned the Aron, Eli falls. All the other bad news he was able to handle. The Aron he couldn't handle. He fell, he broke his neck, and he died. Now, his daughter-in-law, when she hears that the ark was taken, so she starts panicking, and she starts giving birth, and it's not the timing yet. Now, when a woman gives birth, her womb dilates. It opens and closes, opens and closes. And a woman has control when she pushes and when she doesn't push. If a woman works with the midwives, then she pushes at the right time and the baby comes out slowly and she doesn't tear herself. If she pushes at the wrong time, when things are more closed, a woman could tear herself and cause herself to bleed to death or tear in a way that she can be harmed. Today they stitch it, but it can still be harmful for life. So she loses all control and her delivery is all botched up and she bleeds to death. And as she's dying, the baby comes out, and they tell her, "Don't worry, you have a boy," and she's not interested. And she names the child Ichavod, lack of honor. She says, the honor of Israel has been lost because the ark has been taken. And she dies. And then, a short while later, the Philistine camp continues their attack into Shiloh. This is not recorded in the Navi, this is our tradition. And the whole area of the temple of Shiloh is destroyed. Meaning when Eli dies, and his sons, and his daughter-in-law die, that is when Mishkan Shiloh comes to a close. The era of Mishkan Shiloh comes to a close because the whole area is going to be destroyed. It's not just the ark that was taken. So they managed to escape. It seems like they managed to take with them the vessels of the Mishkan, but the area of Shiloh is destroyed. And now they will rebuild the area of the tabernacle, the area that's going to be our Mikdash, in a city called Nov. So we went, it's called Magshan Gai. Okay, that's the acronym for the journey of the temple. Magshan, Midbar, that's the Mem. Gilgal, when we entered Israel, our place of worship was localized in Gilgal. Shiloh, now Shiloh is destroyed. Nov, so Magshan. Gai, Gimel is Givon. Until the days of Shlomo, the center of worship after Nov will be destroyed by King Saul. It will be established in a city called Givon. And then Yerushalayim, Magshan Gai. Okay?
This tradition you mentioned is in the Midrash, in the Mara.
The destruction of Shiloh?
Yeah.
Both?